Good morning, everyone. If you're joining us for the first time, we typically have a little video there, but technical issues, it's okay. I'm Pastor Eric, as Sly said, and I just want to say welcome, everyone, for being here. I'm going to give a brief update about where we are. If you're newer with us or joining us for the first time, we are currently a Bridge City Church campus. There's four campuses, and in 7 weeks from today, we're going to be launching a brand new church in this same facility called Freedom Church. And yes, we can give a hand for that. And each week, going to keep giving you little updates and sharing information about that. The elders and leaders of Bridge City Church are working with us. They're sending us. They're not saying, you know, this is all kingdom-minded, kingdom-building to plant. And we believe, even as Freedom Church gets started, looking ahead to, like, what would it look like to plant a church out of our church someday? You know, so that's the idea, is it's kingdom multiplication, not trying to hold on or just do whatever we want. It's what is God saying? What's God speaking to us and through us? So I want to just bring mention, if you are not following Freedom Church on social media, you're welcome to do that. You should do that. There's a slide that has the ways, the QR codes you can slide. You can search Freedom Church MV or Freedom Church Murraysville are typically the ways to find us on Instagram. We're doing promotional things. If you're not on Instagram, talk to somebody who is. Maybe you can get information. But we're gonna try to update and keep you up to date and informed on things happening through those social media means. Maybe more technical difficulties. Jesus didn't have PowerPoint, so it's okay. We'll do without if we have to, but Instagram, Facebook, getting that, we're going to be getting more and more content on there as well for Freedom Church Murraysville, Freedom Church MV, and we're going to be sharing more and more information. You can see some things already being posted on that, as well as some of the cameras and stuff that we've been having last week and this week. We're trying to get content, B-roll, photos, things for the website. We need to get some of that stuff going, so we're ready to launch in 7 weeks from now. Also, if you're interested, we're going to have a next steps is following today. So there's a follow us on social media, so you can scan those. You can take a picture of those. You can pull your phone out in church. It's okay. You can scan those or check those out, Facebook and Instagram. We want you to be able to follow us on those. Leave that one up just for a little bit longer. After church today, we're having what we call next steps. We're going to help you. First and second Sunday of each month in January, we are doing next steps to help you get started on a team. But it's not just we want you to do something, we want you to discover your purpose, to take a gift assessment, personality assessment. We want to find, where do you best fit within the body of Christ? Where are you already gifted? Where are you already maybe have a passion, a desire that God could use for his church and for his kingdom? So next steps afterwards today, we do have food and childcare provided. So if you didn't plan on staying, you can stay and we have some food and childcare. Also, the next 6 weeks after church, we're going to be having our launch team meetings. So Freedom Church launch meetings. So every Sunday from now on till we launch, we're going to have a meeting after church as well, where we're going to feed you and we're going to have childcare care provided as well. So we want to make sure you get to be a part of the launch of this new church. Because come March 1st, we're all going to be the first day we ever attended Freedom Church. Right? So that's going to be an amazing thing that we get. And not just us, but all the other people that are going to be coming and attending with us as the word gets out more in the community and more marketing. We just started marketing, just started putting things out there this past week, really. But if you want to know who's on the launch team, any of you want to know who's on the launch team? Anybody at all? Anybody? Some of you already know. You're the launch team. In case you were wondering, you are the launch team. So show up on March 1st. You're on the launch team. If you want to actually help and contribute, come to these launch team meetings, because we're going to help you find ways you can contribute, you can serve, you can be a part, more than just attending, which you want just to attend, that's great. But if you want to be part of the launch team as well, come for the launch team meetings. So also, last update, Rachel and I are going to be traveling to Alabama this week to meet with the organization that we've been working with for training, resources. You know, I've never planted a church. I kind of know how to operate one, but I've never planted a church. They're helping us do all the legal stuff, all the filings, all the bank account, the EINs, the working with attorneys, getting all that stuff done, all the branding, marketing. They're helping us do that. We're traveling there this week to get the final approval for ARC, the Association of Related Churches, to match any funds that we raise. So we have been raising funds. We've been asking people to give to Freedom Church so that they would match our funds and we can do all the things that we need to quickly and healthily and get us started in a great way. So we're going to be there this week, hopefully have an update, a big update next Sunday for everyone. Dollar amount, matching funds, all those things. And I know people have asked, how do I give to Freedom Church? Well, first and foremost, the next 6 weeks, we are still Bridge City Church. So still give your regular tithes and offerings, as we just received, to Bridge City Church. If you want to give above and beyond, or you want to give directly to Freedom Church, we don't have a bank account set up yet because of all that legal process. It takes months to get all that set up. Bridge City Church, as most churches that send a church out, they have a fund within Bridge City Church. So you can give to Bridge City, you just have to market Freedom Church so it gets to help us get launched. So on the website, you can click other, type in Freedom Church, you put it on your check, you put cash in an envelope, just put Freedom Church. They're storing, holding all that. We're actually using that to pay for all the things that are happening right now. So just give you some options. Make sure you market Freedom Church for anything you want to go there, but keep giving to Bridge City Church because we're still operating and have expenses and things that we need to do for ministry to happen these next couple months. So without any further ado, let me pray and then we'll jump into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. God, we thank you for a warm place to come inside from the weather, God, to worship you, to hear your word. God, we thank you for all you're doing in the community and in our lives. God, I pray you'd speak through me this morning. God, use your word. God, speak your word to each and every person's heart. God, help us hear from you. Help us hear our next step. God, challenge us where we need challenge. And God, grant us your grace to accomplish what you've given us to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're in this series titled Seek First, right? So seek first the kingdom of God. It's the beginning of a new year, and we want to start the year off with seeking first the kingdom of God. We find this primarily very clearly written out in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 31. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching. He's teaching all kinds of different topics and instructions and helping the people hearing him share this sermon. And at verse 31, he says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." Now, he's saying these things of like what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, stuff that we all have to consider, right? We all need food and drink and sustenance. We need to put clothes on or you get arrested. So there's all these things that are important things we need to think about, but he says, don't worry about these things. Don't stress about these things. Don't let these things dominate your thoughts as unbelievers do. So as believers, as followers of Jesus, his followers, we have a heavenly Father who already knows everything we need. We don't have to worry and stress and fret about it. We can trust God knows. Now, we still have to do our part. We still have to go to the grocery store, prepare meals. We still have to be wise. But ultimately, he's saying, don't worry about those. Don't stress about it. Don't let those things dominate your thoughts. In verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. So yes, those things are important, but above all those things, the kingdom of God is most important. He says, live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Jesus gives us the highest priority of everything in our life. All these things that are important, the most important thing is seeking the kingdom of God. What we do for Christ is the most important thing we could do in our entire lives. It really is. And that encompasses all of the things underneath. So our marriages, our families, our work, how we steward our bodies, how we steward our lives are all part of and can be all part of putting the kingdom of God and living righteously above everything else. So today is going to be a fun topic because we're talking about how do we care for our physical bodies. How do we care for our not just the spiritual things that we think about in church, but the physical things that are actually spiritual as well? So how many of you have ever wanted to improve your physical body? Anybody at all ever have a thought, maybe once creep in your mind, you know, long, long, long time ago, maybe you had this thought. But physical body, I would say all of us, every one of us at some point has wanted to improve some area of our physical health. How about sleep? Any of you want more sleep? Okay, I see the ones with kids first. We all want more sleep, right? We need better rest. Maybe it's not even about the hours, but just better rest. How many of us could use just more exercise and movement in our life? Okay. You know you need it. Maybe you don't want it, but you're like, I should do this. Why this is so important is because our bodies are actually a temple of the Holy Spirit. And somebody who did a very, really good job, probably way better than I'm going to do today, is my wife. She actually recorded two podcasts for a women's Flourish podcast that, okay, it's working. Health and Wellness with Rachel Bimber. My wife, there's two parts. You can scan these QR codes or look it up. It's on the Flourish podcast with Penny Tusey. So our founding pastor, Pastor Keith, his wife has this podcast. Rachel recorded two podcasts for that, talking about health and wellness, why it matters as Christians, why it matters that we steward our temple, why, and she gives some practical, helpful things with grocery shopping and meal prep, some of that stuff, little nuggets for you. So if you want to listen to that, please do some extra homework, do some extra listening, and it's so great. I'm so proud of my wife for recording that. So our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. If we really believe the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, that should change our behavior. That should make our what we put into our bodies very important. Because if the Holy Spirit, He's holy, He's set apart, He's God Himself in us, then should we be feeding Him garbage? Should we be treating Him the way we treat our bodies so often physically? Instead of saying, how do we put the right things, the right fuel, the right good things into our bodies so that we're caring and stewarding the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because in Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. See, taking care of our bodies isn't just about fitting into those skinny jeans, right? It's so much more. It's about stewardship. And when we neglect our physical health, we lack energy. We lack joy. We lack the ability to be present and physical at all the things that we should be, especially with kids. You know, why I work out primarily, it's one, I want my wife to like me too, but I want to be able to play with my kids into my old age. I want to be able to pick my kids up. I want to be able to fight off some guys when my daughters get a little bit older. I'm just kidding. Kind of. I want them to be scared so I don't have to fight them. But you know, the idea is we care for our bodies because our bodies do not belong to us. If He paid a high price, God bought you with a price. If you're a follower of Jesus, your body, your life is not your own. God allows us to steward, to care for something that He paid for. He paid for our lives on the cross, and now we get the opportunity, the privilege to steward what He's paid for. Jesus says, you are mine, but I'm going to let you take care of it. Wow, that's much weightier than my body, my choice, I do whatever I want. It's like, nah, not as a Christian. You do have a choice, but the choice should be to honor God with your body, to live righteously unto God. Now, perfect, no, but righteous, to pursue righteousness, to live our lives as an act of worship to Him, to sacrifice ourselves as He so freely sacrificed Himself to us. So how can we not live our lives for the one who gave us everything in every aspect of our life? In Romans chapter 12, Paul says this. He says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. He says, give your bodies, but in context here in Romans chapter 12, he talks about the church, all of us together make up the body of Christ. So each one of us is a vital part of the body, so we should care for our portion of the body. I have to care for myself because what I do affects everyone else. What you do affects the other people around you. That the body, if you're treating some part of your physical body with harm, it's going to affect the other parts of it. I know many of you have had physical injuries or instances. It affects your entire body when something is broke, or injured, or not working correctly, right? So in the same way, spiritually, as the body of Christ, we have to be healthy. We have to care for ourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. All aspects, he says, all of these things, not just physically, but all of these things, let them be a living and holy sacrifice unto God. This is how we worship Him. We give Him our entire lives. So there's an element of physical training and spiritual training. And Paul actually addresses this in 1 Timothy 4. He says that physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, people use this verse, and they'll use other verses in the Bible often, to justify gluttony, to justify sin, by saying, well, I'm really spiritual, so I don't have to worry about the physical stuff. He said, like, physical training is good, but it's better to focus on the spiritual things. True. It is true that you should work on, because you could be the most physically fit person. That means nothing unless you're training for godliness as well. So training for godliness, spiritually understanding things and understanding the Bible, hearing from God, prayer, having a prayer life, actively giving yourself away, being selfless like Christ did, that's better than the physical training, but both of them are necessary. Physical training and spiritual training. Instead of justifying saying, well, I don't have to care for my body, I don't have to worry about all that stuff, and we neglect something that is still good and is still important. He promises benefits in this life and the life to come when we do both of those. So physical discipline is actually working a spiritual muscle. You know, like it's like faith. Your faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. The more you use your physical muscles, the stronger they get. And physical discipline, Paul connects this in 1 Corinthians here. He says, like, there's this physical discipline and there's a spiritual discipline, a spiritual muscle. And he ties them together and actually talks about, well, just read what he says. He said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. How many of you are competitive? How many, okay, the ones who, yeah, you're going to raise your hand. I want to win. I don't run the race to just finish. I mean, sometimes you just get through the week, right? But I want to run to win. I want to win to do something, to accomplish something. He says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Understand, it's not just to win in this life. We want to win for eternity. We want to win for something that's going to last more than just the end of the race, that's going to last for this year, that's going to last for our lifetime. I want something that's going to last for eternity. Win the race, and there's a training involved, a physical training, just like a physical training for a physical race, there's spiritual training for spiritual race. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. He's not just fighting the air. He's not just punching a fake imaginary opponent. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's the Hebrew of Hebrews, the born of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew the word more than anybody at the time, the law. He knew the law. He understood this. And yet he still says he could be disqualified if he's not taking care of his physical body, disciplining his physical body, training it to do what it should. See, the connection here is when you win in the spiritual, you can win in the natural. If you just try to win in the natural, you might win in the spiritual, but not necessarily. But if you win in the spiritual, you always win in the natural. And Paul is explaining here that he said all the right things, but if he wasn't living his life physically correctly, how could he be a good witness? How could he have the energy and the stamina and the endurance to go do all the missionary work and the trips that he did and all those things that Paul did to get the New Testament and write the New Testament, to be a part of that, to all these other places if he wasn't taking care of his body? And that's the why, that's so much of the why, this spiritual muscle that gets stretched and worked and flexed and strengthened because of our physical strength as well. So let's grow our muscle. Let's grow our spiritual muscle by training our physical bodies. One of the ways we do that, and this is more spiritual than physical, yet there are a lot of physical benefits, is what we call fasting. We don't call it, the Bible calls it, God calls it that. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. We're in a season, these 3 weeks, in the first 3 weeks of January, taking Monday through Wednesday for 3 days to fast from food for spiritual purposes. So this past week, we had Monday through Wednesday fasting as a church, and we invite you to participate at a level that's safe for you, but is going to stretch you to get beyond what you feel like you want to do. You know, if you're medication, there's certain people, my wife's pregnant. I mean, there's things that you shouldn't do to harm your body, okay? It's not, the goal is not to hurt yourself. The goal is to hear God more clearly. So fasting is something we're going to do these 3 weeks. Wednesday night, this Wednesday, we have prayer here at the campus, 6:30 to 7:30. We had worship and prayer this past Wednesday. This Wednesday, we have prayer. And next Wednesday, we're going to have prayer as well. So you're invited to come. Everybody's welcome to come Wednesday to pray, to be here in the room. But when it comes to fasting, Jesus says something so amazing. He said in Matthew chapter 6, again, same, just a few verses before Matthew 6, 31, 33. He says, and when you fast, in verse 16. And he says, but when you fast, in verse 17. That you are fasting, in verse 18. He gives these three verses and three times that he doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. When you fast, and when, that you are fasting. He expects us as his followers to be people who fast. So fasting is going without food, again, for spiritual purposes. So often we focus on what we give up more than what we're getting. What fasting does is it tunes our ears to hear from God. It doesn't twist God's arm to give us what we want. Fasting, if it's, God, I'm going to fast so you give me this, that's wrong. God, I'm going to fast because I want to hear what you want from me. God, I want to hear that maybe this desire I have is not your desire, not your will for my life. I want to hear from you. It tunes our ears. It helps us hear what God would have for us. It doesn't have anything to do with how much he's going to bless us or how he's going to give us favor. I believe he loves us and blesses us and grants us that favor. That's grace that he gives, whether we fast or not. But I want more of him. And if you want more of God, you can fast. So very practically, going without some extras is a good way to start. Cut the desserts. Cut the sweets. Cut pop. Cut all the extra sugar. Maybe skip one meal. If you've never fasted before, cut a meal out of your day. Go with some physical hunger and tell your flesh, no to flesh, yes to God. Yes, I want to hear from you. It's like we all hate being hungry, right? We don't like to be hungry. In our culture, in our world, it's so much about instant gratification, right? When you're hungry, eat something. When you're hungry, order something. Look at what most of the world has to experience. Hunger, starvation. And I don't think that's necessarily the goal. The goal is to say no to my flesh, yes to what God will have. Every time I'm hungry, I say, God help me, because I can't do this on my own. I'm reminded of my dependence on God, not on myself. I mean, Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. When he was tempted in the wilderness, when he was hungry, that's the verse he quoted to say, God, I don't need bread. I need the word of God that's going to sustain me. Just an interesting thought as I've been reading and looking at some fasting, and it's not on the slide, but just put together, thinking of, you know, in Genesis, with Adam and Eve, what's the object of their fall, of their sin? A piece of fruit, right? Food. It said it looked good as food to eat, and they took of it. Then we get Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities, two towns that were destroyed by God because of just rampant sin and sexual morality. But one of the main listed sins that they were doing was gluttony, indulging themselves so much on food and drink. And then we see in the Israelites that they're wandering in the desert, and they're going towards the promised land, and it said they gorged themselves unto death. They ate so much that they literally died, and they never got to see the promised land. Or Jacob and Esau, two brothers, that Esau sells his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. It was stew and lentils. I mean, if you like lentils, I guess maybe. But no, he sells his birthright for what? For food. And we see so often that one of the greatest temptations to us, especially in America, we have so much, is food. It really is. Throughout the Bible, we see it over and over and over again, that food is such a temptation for us, and often we fall short because we're eating the wrong stuff, we're falling subject to food, and we can't say no to our flesh, when really we need to make sure our flesh is in order. But it starts with our lives in order with God. Because fasting, when we say no to food, it exposes what controls us. I don't know about you, but I crave sugar sometimes, right? Anybody else crave sugar? Caffeine, bread, you just need that. That's a craving. Craving doesn't mean it controls you, but if you let it control you, you give into it all the time, it's healthy for you to say no. It's healthy for you to say no to our indulgence, to our desires, to our cravings. But there's this myth about, you know, I hear people say, I just need more motivation. I need more motivation and then I would get to the gym. I need more motivation and I would eat right. I need more motivation. Motivation might get you started, but discipline is what keeps you going. Discipline is actually what leads you to freedom because you're not dependent on how you feel. Motivation is, how do I feel today? Like when I wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm like, do I feel like going to the gym today? No, I never feel like going to the gym. But if you're disciplined, you say, I'm going to go anyways. I've made the decision ahead of time that I'm going to go. And discipline creates this freedom for you because you're not dependent on your feelings, but you get to discern and decide how you lead your life and what goals you're going to accomplish in your life. So discipline over motivation. Also, purpose over pressure. There is so much pressure on people to look a certain way, to feel a certain way, to be a certain way, to put all the perfect stuff on social media. But what if instead of the pressure, even self-imposed pressure that we put on ourselves, what if instead of that pressure, it was purpose? What's your purpose? I don't know if you know this, but God has a purpose and a calling on your life. And if we're unable to physically get out of bed, we're unable to physically get through the day without feeling tired and drained all the time, how are we ever going to really fulfill the purpose that God has given us? Right? It's so much better. Like I hate that it's true, but every time I work out in the morning, I have more energy throughout the day. Right? It's like, why do we have to do that? Can I just eat some more caffeine or eat some candy or get something else and I'll feel better for a very short time? But the reality is when you take care of yourself physically, because there's a purpose. Paul had a purpose. That's why he was so disciplined. Jesus had a purpose. That's why he was so disciplined. I mean, Jesus fasted. Jesus prayed to the Father. Jesus took care of his body. Why would he have to do that and we think we don't have to? I mean, he is literally God in the flesh, and he fasted, he prayed, he cared for his body. Why? How much more do we have? Because he had a purpose. Purpose is what drives us. Purpose and discipline will help you create the plan for your life. Because we all want, I believe, what Galatians talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. Right? There's this fruit of the Spirit. Right before this, there's a list of all the bad stuff, the sins, the sinful things. And he says, like, don't do all those things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And we can just keep moving on, right? But no, the last one is self-control. Self-control. We don't have to choose to put, we don't have to put things in our bodies or watch things. It's self-control is actually a dominion or something within that comes out. It really, and even in the Greek context of self-control, it means spirit control or God control. So true self-control isn't, I just got to try harder, I just got to do more. Yes, we have the ability to make a plan, to be disciplined, to make decisions ahead of time, but ultimately it's, God, would you control my life? God, would you order my steps? God, would you give me the discipline and the control to do whatever you've called me to do? But it starts with our purpose. What's your purpose? What's your drive? If you got kids, if you're married, like that's one of the first things you say, how do I be the best support? How do I be the best parent? If you got anybody you're in communication with, if you have a job, if you have somebody in a relationship, how do I care for myself physically to be the best me for them? To be the best me for the body of Christ as well. A very practical, helpful thing is focus on the habit, not on the outcome. You know, you may say, I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to do this. And focus on the input, focus on the habit, and let the outcome kind of take care of itself. I know that's sometimes backwards. Like, you should have a goal, you should have an outcome, but focus on the input. Like, I'm going to go work out 3 times a week. I'm going to walk for 30 minutes at a time. I'm going to cut out the garbage or the snacks. Focus on the habit and then watch for the outcome to take care of itself. One of the best things we do is we don't have junk food in the house most of the time. Most of the time. I'm in church. I got to tell the truth. No. But most of the time, we don't have junk food in our house, and it makes it a lot easier not to eat it. Because now you're not going to go into the pantry and grab a bag of chips or eat ice cream or do something because you don't have it. It makes it a lot harder to get when you don't bring it into the house. That's one of the best things I think we did in our marriage early on was don't bring it in the house. Participate a little bit. Have a little bit. If you're at a party, you can participate in some of it. Limiting how much junk you put in. But then write down the actions you will take. What's something very practically for your physical health? Maybe it's, I need to go to bed at a little bit earlier time instead of being up watching YouTube or just being on my phone for two more hours. What if, like, I have to go to bed at this time every single night and just make that a priority? Put that as an action you're going to take. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's you're going to shovel the snow instead of use the snowblower. I don't know. Like, pick an action of something. You're going to start eating three vegetables a day, right? Some of us, like, a week would be a good start. But you're going to start eating something better. Write down those actions. And then what's even better is show somebody else to help you be accountable, right? That's why personal training works so much, because people, they already know most of the time what to do. They just need someone to hold them accountable and help them be accountable to doing it. And I say all this that it's not just about doing more or being busier with our activity, but it's actually about being more effective and fruitful. How many of you want 2026 to be more effective and fruitful for your life, right? Not just for us to receive. We're going to receive a benefit. Our lives, our household, our family is going to receive a benefit, but the kingdom of God is going to be better because of that. Our church is going to be better when we can really put purpose over pressure, focus on being disciplined, not just motivated, and make these right choices as we move forward. A very important aspect of physical health is rest and recovery, right? Resting is very important. And if we never stop to take a break, if we never take a rest, it leads to burnout. It leads to crashing. It leads to emotional breakdown. It leads to all these other things. And rest and recovery is so important. Jesus shares something so important here that I think applies to many different aspects. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus tells us how to, these unforced rhythms of grace of life. It's not go, 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 busy, busy, busy every single day of the week all the time. There needs to be times of rest. You need to have times of recovery. It's not good to work out your muscles every single day, all day. You need rest days so your muscles can rebuild, so they can strengthen, right? And likewise, spiritually, physically, rest is important. But make sure it's good rest. You know, if you're laying in bed for 10 hours, but you're on your phone for 4 of those hours, that's not good rest. I'd say that's not good for your mind. But with this, you know, Jesus asks us, he does acknowledge a Sabbath. I don't personally take a 24-hour Sabbath of do nothing, no activity, just lay in bed, don't do anything. I don't think that's a good Sabbath necessarily. But I find Sabbath, and what I believe the New Testament, what Jesus himself says, is Sabbath is him. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the one who brings all things into order. And when things seem chaotic and you're feeling worn out, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're so busy, busy, busy with all the activities and all the stuff, or maybe you're just, like he says, burned out on religion, burned out with, I'm trying to be good, I'm trying to do the right things. He says, come to me. Come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I just need to be with you. The most restful times I've ever had are spending times reading the Bible, worshiping God, put some worship music on, and just like he did with Mary and Martha, where Martha's running around working, working, worrying, and Mary just sits at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says she's doing the better part. That time with him, learning those unforced rhythms of grace. I believe healthy rhythms is a word for us this year. Like, what's a healthy rhythm for your life? What's a healthy schedule look like for you? On a daily basis, waking up at the appropriate time, spending time reading the word, putting on some worship music, going to bed at a good time. What's a healthy rhythm of life right now? There's seasons you got to be busier, right? There's seasons, things are just what they are. We're having a new baby in 4 months, little baby girl. So we're like, that season's coming and it's going to be, we're going to get through it. God willing, his grace. But the reality is that, you know, looking at how do we find that rest? How do we put God first in every aspect of our life? And physically, if we neglect our physical bodies, we neglect something that's so important, that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been bought with a price, and it's all about living for him. Amen. So I just want to pray for us in this moment, and if you could just bow your head and close your eyes, just kind of eliminate some distractions and Let's just lock in and hear God right in this moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the example of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that we can come to you, Jesus. We can come to you with our lives, with our physical lives, our emotional lives, our spiritual lives. God, I thank you that you've done all the work for us. God, this isn't about working harder, trying harder, but God, it's truly about trusting you. God, as we lay down our desires and what we want, even goals that maybe we picked, God, I pray that we would all say, God, what do you want for our lives? God, what do you want for my life? God, how can I take steps of obedience to steward my body better than I have been? Every one of us can do more of eating healthier, sleeping more, or putting in the right things in our body. So God, I pray you'd help us. Make a plan. Write out those actions of what are some steps, even if it's just one thing this week, we're going to start to do better. God, that this time of prayer and fasting, God, I pray that each and every one of us would do something. We'd give up something. We'd give up desserts. We'd give up snacks. We'd give up coffee. We'd give up one meal. We'd do something, God, to give up the natural things because we're hungry for you. And God, we are hungry for you. God, more than we hunger for food, more than we hunger for our desires, more than we hunger for anything in the natural, Father, we hunger for you first and foremost. God, we thirst for you. God, we hunger for you. We long for you. More of you, less of us, less of this world, less of our flesh. God, we want to see you. We want to experience you. I felt like during worship there was this moment. I just want to stay in this moment of prayer. I wasn't sure how to share it. I'm just going to share. I have a family member right now who's going through some suicidal thoughts, some depression. I'm realizing how much it's weighing on me and it's affecting me. And I lost a brother to suicide just less than 2 years ago. And I just felt like God was saying this, it's not just about my brother, but it's about some other people in this room who are struggling with some thoughts, struggling with depression and anxiety, maybe fears, maybe anger and bitterness. And I really believe you're not alone if you're feeling that way. You're not alone if you're feeling down and depressed and sad right now. You're not alone if you're feeling lonely and isolated and like nobody cares. I want you to know that you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. That life has a meaning. Life has a purpose beyond what you're seeing currently. God wants you to know that you are loved, that you have value, that you have meaning, and that you don't have to live life alone. You can live it with community, with a family. You can live it with the people in this very room who I know if any one of us heard what's going on with you, we would help you. We'd come alongside you. We'd care for you. We'd pray for you. I think one of the biggest tactics of the enemy is to make us feel like we're all alone or we're the only ones going through something. I want you to break out of that lie, remove those lies that you've been thinking, that you aren't worthy enough, you aren't good enough, you aren't valuable enough, that God has given you worth, that same worth, that price that he paid for you is the price that you are worth, the precious blood of Jesus. That's how much you are worth. The blood of the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, Jesus himself, he gave his life for you. I believe right now, if you're here today and you say, I've never known that worth, I've never experienced that worth, I've never known that I could be valued, Jesus wants you to know that you are precious, you are valuable to him, that he went to the cross for you. If you're here today and you say, I want to believe that, I want to receive that, I want Jesus to be the one that I follow from this point forward, that you want his spirit to live within you, to truly be a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he's already paid the price. It simply is, will you accept him? Will you lay down your life and follow him? Will you lay down your desires of the flesh to follow the desires of God himself? To simply say, God, I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to turn from my selfish desires, and God, I want to live for you now. You may not even know what those are, but just simply saying that and saying yes and choosing to follow God, He's going to give you your next steps. He's going to help you. We're going to help you know your next steps as you follow Him. So in this moment, I just want to pray, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, that your Son Jesus died for us, that you paid that price that none of us could ever pay for on our own. God, I pray if there's anybody here in this room, God, that they would say yes to you. They'd give their lives to you. They'd follow you. They'd begin a relationship with you. God, they would pursue knowing who you are. God, that so you could bring them into freedom. God, that you'd so you could bring them into the light, the kingdom of God that is at hand. And God, they would begin to seek your kingdom first. And Father, I pray for every single one of us that we would take the steps necessary to steward our bodies and to steward our entire lives to seek your kingdom first in everything we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Sly, come on up. If you prayed with me or you say, I want to make that decision to follow Jesus, one of the best ways to do it, to follow up so we can follow up with you, is put your phone to that tap card on the seat in front of you. That's how you can fill out a connection card. You can also put, I want to follow Jesus. There's a link in there. There's connection cards on the seats. I know I'm stealing your first thing you're going to share. But those connection cards, there's a check mark box on there. You can just check mark, fill your name and information out. Check mark that box that says, I want to follow Jesus. I want him to become the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. Because we want to help you follow. We want to follow up with you. You're not alone. You're not by yourself in this. We want to help you. We want to come alongside you. We want to point you to your next steps as well. So, Sly, take it away.
All right. Give it up for Pastor Eric.